Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and today we're going to continue in our series, Minor Prophets for Interesting Times. And we got about halfway through the book of Zechariah, and we're using Matthew Henry's concise commentary as a guide to get us through it, because much of the cryptic language that is there, of course, some easy to understand, but some very cryptic for me, because perhaps if I had been living in the time that Zechariah was speaking, I would understand a lot more. Perhaps we're going to just jump right in, though, to chapter 8 and verse 1. Of Zechariah, and see where it takes us. Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. And the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. Now, this part of Ezekiel's or Zechariah is pretty easy to figure out. The children of Israel had spent most of the last 7 years in Babylon as captives. And the promise was that they would be able to return to the land. And so we see that God is going to uphold his promise here in the word from Zechariah to the people there. Let's see what Matthew Henry has to say about this here. The sins of Zion were her worst enemies. God will take away her sins, and then no other enemy shall hurt her. Those who profess religion must adorn their profession by godliness and honesty. When become a city of truth and a mountain of holiness, Jerusalem is peaceable and prosperous. Beautifully describe a state of great outward peace, attended with plenty, temperance, and contentment. The scattered Israelites shall be brought together from all parts. God will never leave nor forsake them in a way of mercy. For this he has promised them, that they shall never leave nor forsake him in a way of duty, as they have promised him. These promises were partially fulfilled in the Jewish church, betwixt the captivity and the time of Christ's coming. And they had fuller accomplishment in the gospel church. But the full import must be as to the future times of the Christian church, or the future restoration of the Jews. With men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So far are God's thoughts and ways above ours. In the present low state of vital godliness, we can hardly conceive that so complete a change can be made, but a change thus extensive and glorious can be brought to pass by the almighty power of the new creating spirit in less time than he was pleased to employ in creating the world. Let the hands of all who labor in the cause of the gospel be strong, serving the Lord in true holiness, assured that their labor shall not be in vain. Zechariah 8, verse 9. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Let your hands be strong, ye that hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, which were in the day that the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts was laid, and the temple might be built. For before these days there was no hire for man, nor any hire for beast, neither was there any peace to him that went out or came in because of the affliction. For I set all men, every one, against his neighbor. But now I will not be unto the residue of this people as in the former days, saith the Lord of hosts. For the seed shall be prosperous, the vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all things. And it shall come to pass that as ye were a curse among the heathen, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I save you, and ye shall be a blessing. Fear not, let your hands be strong, for thus saith the Lord of hosts, as I thought to punish you when your fathers provoked me to wrath, saith the Lord of hosts, and I repented not, so again have I thought in these days to do well unto Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Fear ye not. These are the things that ye shall do. Speak ye every man truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace in your gates. And let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor. And love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. When God comes toward us in ways of mercy, we must meet him with joy and thankfulness. Therefore, be faithful and honest in all your dealings, and let it be a pleasure to you to be so, though thereby you come short of the gains others get dishonestly. And, as much as in you lies, live peaceably with all men. Let the truths of God rule in your hearts, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Thus the ancient servants of God drew the notice of the heathen neighbors, whose prejudices were softened, and great increase to the church shall be made. Hitherto, the Jews had been prone to learn the idolatries of other nations. What more unlikely than that they should teach religion to their conquerors and to all the principal nations of the earth? Yet this is expressly foretold, and it came to pass. Hitherto, the prophecy has been wonderfully fulfilled, and no doubt future events will explain it further. It is good to be with those who have God with them. If we take God for our God, we must take his people for our people, and be willing to take our lot with them. But let not anyone think that mere zeal, either for Jews or Gentiles, will stand in the place of personal religion. Let us be living epistles of Christ, known and read of all men, so that others may wish to go with us and to have their portion with us in the realms of bliss. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 18. And the word of the Lord of hosts came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, The fast of the fourth month, and the fast of the fifth, and the fast of the seventh month, and the fast of the tenth, shall be to the house of Judah joy and gladness, and cheerful feasts. Therefore love the truth and peace. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, It shall yet come to pass that there shall come people, and the inhabitants of many cities, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, Let us go speedily to pray before the Lord, and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, And in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, We will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Okay, only those who lay their hands to the plow of duty shall have them strengthened with the promises of mercy. Those who avoid their father's faults have the curse turned into a blessing. Those who believe the promises were to show their faith by their works and to wait the fulfillment. When God is displeased, he can cause trade to decay and set every man against his neighbor. But when he returns in mercy, all is happy and prosperous. Surely believers in Christ must not trifle with the exhortation to put away with lying and to speak every man peace with his neighbor, to hate what the Lord hates and to love that wherein he delights. And all I can say about that is amen. To hate what God hates and to love that wherein he delights should be the meditation and the prayer of our heart at any time. Jumping into chapter 9 and verse 1 of Zechariah. The burden of the word of the Lord in the land of Hadrach, and Damascus shall be the rest thereof, when the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, shall be toward the Lord. And Hamath also shall border thereby, Tyrus and Zidon, though it be very wise. And Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, and heaped up silver as dust, and fine gold as mire in the streets. Behold, the Lord will cast her out, and he will smite her power in the sea, and she shall be devoured with fire. Ashkelon shall see it, and fear. Gaza also shall see it, and be very sorrowful. And Ekron, for her expectation shall be ashamed, and the king shall perish from Gaza, and Ashkelon shall not be inhabited. And a bastard shall dwell in Ashdod, and I will cut off the pride of the Philistines. And I will take away his blood out of his mouth, and his abominations from between his teeth. But he that remaineth, even he, shall be for our God, and he shall be as a governor in Judah, and Ekron as a Jebusite. And I will encamp about mine house because of the army, because of him that passeth by, and because of him that returneth, and no oppressor shall pass through them any more. For now have I seen with my eyes. See what our good friend Matthew Henry has to say. Here are judgments foretold on several nations. While the Macedonians and Alexander's successors were in warfare in these countries, the Lord promised to protect his people. God's house lies in the midst of an enemy's country. His church is a lily among thorns. God's power and goodness are seen in her special preservation. The Lord encamps about his church, and while armies of proud oppressors shall pass by and return, his eyes watch over her so that they cannot prevail, and shortly the time will come when no exactor shall pass by her any more. Matthew Henry has two commentaries. He has the concise, which is the one I've been using, and sometimes a little too brief. So I'm gonna look at this to get a little more detail on these nations around about Israel. After the precious promises, we had the foregoing chapter of favor to God's people. Their persecutors who hated them come to be reckoned with, those particularly that bordered close upon them. One, the Syrians had been bad neighbors to Israel, and God had a controversy with them. The word of the Lord shall be a burden in the land of Hadrach, that is, of Syria, but it does not appear why it is so called. That the kingdom is meant is plain, because Damascus, the metropolis of that kingdom, is said to be the rest of this burden. That is, the judgments here threatened shall light and lie upon that city. Those are miserable upon whom the burden of the word of the Lord rests, upon whom the wrath of God abides. For it is a weight that they can neither shake off nor bear up under. There are those whom God causes his fury to rest upon, those whom the wrath of God makes its mark, it will be sure to hit. Those whom it makes the rest, it will be sure to sink. And the reason of this burden's resting on Damascus is because the eyes of man, as of all the tribes of Israel, or rather, even of all the tribes of Israel, are toward the Lord, because the people of God, by faith and prayer, took up to him for succor, a relief, and depend upon him to take their part against their enemies. Note, this is a sign that God is about to appear remarkably for his people when he raises their believing expectations from him and dependence upon him, and when by his grace he turns them from idols to himself. At that day shall a man look to his Maker. It may be read thus, for the Lord has an eye upon man and upon all the tribes of Israel. He is King of nations as well as King of saints. He governs the church as he governs the world as well as the church, and therefore will punish the sins of other people as well as those of his own people. God is judge of all, and therefore all must give account of themselves to him. When Saint Paul was converted at Damascus and preached there and disputed with the Jews, then the word of the Lord might be said to rest there, and then the eyes of men, of other men besides the tribes of Israel, began to be toward the Lord. Hamath, a country which lay north of Damascus, and which we often read of, shall border thereby. It joins to Syria, and shall share in the burden of the word of the Lord that rests upon Damascus. The Jews have a proverb, "Woe to the wicked man, and woe to his neighbor, who is in danger of partaking in his sins and his plagues. Woe to the land of Hadrach, and woe to Hamath that borders thereby." 2. Tyre and Zidon come next to be called to an account here, as in other prophecies. Observe here. 1. Tyrus flourishing, thinking herself very safe, and ready to set God's judgments only at a distance, but at defiance, for she is very wise. It is spoken ironically. She thinks herself very wise, and able to outwit even the wisdom of God. It is granted that her king is a great politician, and that her statesmen are so. But with all her wit and policy, they shall not be able to evade the judgments of God when they come with commission. There is no wisdom nor counsel against the Lord. Nay, it is his honor to take the wise in their own craftiness. She is very strong and well fortified, both by nature and art. Tyrus did build herself a stronghold, which she thought could never be brought down, nor got over. She is very rich, and money is a defense. It is the sinews of war. By her vast trade she has heaped up silver as dust, and fine gold as mire in the streets. That is, she has an abundance of them, heaps of silver, common as heaps of sand. Solomon made silver to be in Jerusalem as the stones of the streets. But Tyre went further and made fine gold to be as the mire of the streets. It were well if we could all learn to look upon it in comparison with the merchandise of wisdom and grace and the gains thereof. 2. Tyrus falling. After all, her wisdom and wealth and strength shall not be able to secure her. The Lord will cast her out of that stronghold wherein she has fortified herself, and make her poor, so some read it. There have been instances of those that have fallen from the height of plenty to the depth of poverty, and great riches have come to nothing. God will smite her power in the sea. Her being surrounded by water shall not secure her, but she shall be devoured with fire and burnt down to the ground. Tyrus, being seated in the midst of the water, was, one would have thought, in danger of being sometime or other overflowed or washed away by that. Yet God chooses to destroy it by the contrary element. Sometimes he brings ruin upon his enemies by those means which they least suspect. Water enough was nigh at hand to quench the flames of Tyre, and yet by them shall she be devoured. For who can put out the fire which the breath of the Almighty blows up? Okay, we're gonna stop there for a minute, and we're gonna take a break here, and we will continue with Zechariah at chapter 9 when we return. You're listening to Cross the Border. This is part of our Minor Prophets for Interesting Times, the book of Zechariah. We'll be back in a few minutes.